All right, walking up some steps out of a subway and out onto the street. Bang, bang, boom. So 1 week to go in Taipei. It's a Thursday now. Next Thursday is my flight. And I am a little concerned about how that's gonna go, because my sleep schedule hasn't gotten any better. It was one of those things, like, I was having trouble sleeping because I just always do in general. But in Japan, I was definitely, you know, burning the candle at both ends. But it really went crazy when I got to Seoul. I was sort of down about things when I first got to Seoul. And I remember that first night, by the first night, I was texting my friend Brad back home, who he's the reason I went to Japan in the first place, because back in 2019, he lived there. And that was like my window, my gateway to go to Japan and see what it was like. Okay, let me try to find a way to get off of this street. Get off of this major street. I don't quite know where I am or where I'm going. I haven't looked at a map yet, but that's the point I'm going to get to, is that I love how easily variable things are here. But yeah, in Seoul, I remember I was texting Brad that first night, just kind of saying, like, yikes. Because I guess that's because we had this plan back in 2019 to go visit South Korea after my Japan trip was over. But I had a lot of problems on that first Japan trip where I lost my passport, and I had a real passport by then. I had a temporary passport in the middle. It was actually really cool looking. I should have taken some pictures of it. Instead of a black passport, it was a white passport that was only valid for like the 3 weeks I was waiting for my passport. But the bigger problem was I only had one bank account back then, because I just didn't even think about that. And I had a problem with my debit card. And again, my fault, because I didn't look at the expiry date, but my debit card expired midway through Japan. And I just took a crap ton of money. Every day I took the maximum amount of money out of the ATMs at 7-Eleven. And I literally just paid for everything with cash for like the last, man, it was a long time. Like the last 6 weeks I was in Japan or something. So I had to go home. But originally our idea was to go to Seoul, check it out. And it probably would have gone a little better because that was summertime. But yeah, getting there in the winter and just realizing compared to Tokyo, it's like, uh-oh, this city, a lot less pretty, a lot more garbage-filled, and a pollution nightmare. So anyway, I was texting Brad that first night, being like, man, I don't know, maybe we dodged a bullet not going to Seoul. At that point, my opinion was Seoul sucks. And, you know, once I learned about Bukansan and stuff, I came to a begrudging, semi-respectful alliance with Seoul. But yeah, I was up till like 6 in the morning because of the time change stuff. You know, it was like 6 p.m. for him. And he even commented, like, isn't it like crazy late for you? Why are you still up? And I remember saying to him, like, yeah, whatever. Like, I've already, in this first day, decided my fate in Seoul. It's like, fuck it. I'll stay up all night here and spend the days in coffee shops. And like at that point, it really didn't even seem like there would be anything I could do except be in the city. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. You know, nighttime's prettier around here. At least you can't see the haze and the smog. But that really set the tempo ever since. I've just been staying up all night. And it just hasn't stopped consistently. As recently as last night, I saw the sun come up. It's like, oh, geez. So anyway, I mean, it's a pretty casual flight from here. My flight doesn't leave until 1 p.m. But, you know, again, to get up, get all my stuff together, get to the airport, get there ahead of time, that still means I'll have to get up early in the morning. It's going to be a bad travel day. Compound that with the stress of having to get through Japan customs when I haven't been gone for a full calendar year. Yikes. But anyway, that's for next week's me to worry about. I've still got a week to try to get my shit together a little. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'll get lucky and I'll just like I mean, literally all I need is for that one day before. It's like, wow, what if I just go to bed at a reasonable time that one day before? I'd be all right. But easier said than done. But anyway, since I was up all night, I also woke up really late today. And that's just what's really cool about Taipei especially. Like, it's this way in Asia in general, since everything, it's like taking a North American city and compacting it, squeezing it down. Everything is so nice and close, and I don't really notice the opposite effect very much. Like, there were some times in Japan where things were crazy crowded. Shibuya is mainly where I have those memories, you know, Shibuya and Shinjuku. And Shibuya Station during rush hour. Really just Shibuya. I'm sure there's other crowded parts, but for me, that was the one that stood out the most. But where, you know, you really do feel like packed in. But even in Japan, that doesn't happen that often. And I never really felt that way in South Korea, and I've never felt that way here in Taipei. So it's like, even though everything is dense and close together, you know, the downside should be, shouldn't there be people everywhere? And it's just not an issue. I guess a lot of these places I've stayed are quite packed in with people, these Airbnb type setups, but it keeps them nice and affordable. And everyone is just very well trained to be quiet. You know, I've never really had problems on that end besides an occasional snorer. And it just makes the day so easy, so easily variable. In North America, you really do kind of need to pick a plan, and that's more or less the plan. Where you can just change course around here, it's great. It's like yesterday it was raining, so I just hopped on the subway, took a ride, you know, a third of the way across town, wandered around a bit, bought some stuff. The rain wasn't letting up, so I just went home. Still had kind of a fun little day. Today the weather's beautiful, but I didn't get up and out until like 3 o'clock, so yeah, now it's 3:45. I was thinking I would just go to the very first place by Jiantan Station on the Red Line, the very first place that I did a hike in Taipei. I was like, oh, I could just go do that again. Up to Soochow University, loop back around through my old neighborhood. Just because why not, you know? That's what I have been doing, is just the greatest hits. Just go hit up the places that I've been before. Why not? I don't really need to do any more exploring and stuff. It's all right. Now I'm kind of getting a taste of, like, what would it be like if I lived here more permanently, and I've already done all the major exploration, and now it's just like, oh, I'll just go back to this place and go back to that place, and it's pretty delightful. Just go back and do a hike I've already done. That's fine. It's still fucking beautiful. There's plenty of details you don't notice the first time. So I was thinking I would just do that, but that wasn't the shortest hike in the world, and the day is getting away from me, and the days are getting shorter and shorter. Not the best plan ever. And then when I got to where I was supposed to transfer from the orange line to the red line, I just decided to swap out and just switch the plan, because I had to go use the washroom at that station. Toilet talk on the bingo card. They only had a squat toilet at the station I was at, and I think this is the longest time I've spent in a squat toilet. I was just like, oh man, my tummy is rumbling. I was in there squatting for some time. Apologies for the squat talk. but it's one of those things where it's like, ah yeah, you know, I'm not really used to squatting and it does hurt my knee a bit. But hey, what choice do I have? And I mean, it is kind of better. I was always a little worried, like, what would happen if I got stuck with a squat toilet when I needed to spend a lot of time in the toilet. And it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, it is a little tough for me to just squat for long periods, but the pooping part of pooping, I mean, it is better when you're not sitting, right? It's the whole thing about, like, you get like a kink in your intestine when you're in a sitting position, like it's more natural to squat. So it's like, oh yeah, this actually maybe is better. It's not the worst, you know? But with the rumblings in my tummy that I wasn't sure are over, and the day getting away from me, I was like, well, let's just not do that then. Never mind. Just have a new plan. So that was Mingquan Station? Starts with an M. The one where the red and the orange connect. Mingquan Road, I think it's called. But I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just get off here. And now I'm just walking. I don't know where the fuck I am. Just walking. It's this nice little pedestrian walkway. I walked by some other subway station just now. Hey, here's a a bakery called Supra Normal. S-U-P-R-A. And it's got a big painting, like a big mural on the wall of an astronaut with a coffee. And it says, beyond this world, be Supra Normal. What is the relevance of that? There is none. It's just like, I'm just walking around. Walking around some random neighborhood I've never been to and just seeing stuff. Just seeing new stuff that I haven't seen before. And, you know, when I'm done recording podcast yammerings, I'll check where I am and recalibrate. But it's like, who even cares? It doesn't matter. You know, like I said, I just walked by another subway station. I think this walkway, this pedestrian walkway, is probably following the subway line. But my plan, since it's all beautiful out, is just to walk to Shimen and just walk through that neighborhood and walk across the bridge to walk home. This will be my new plan, my little afternoon walk. Just wander around. And yeah, it sounds like such a diss to North America, this, that I'm about to say. And to be fair, maybe it's just, you know, I'm just burned out on North America. I just lived there for a long time. Like, when I first moved to Vancouver, it blew my mind. It was amazing. When I first moved to Toronto, even, I was like, wow. Different than Vancouver, but I like it. When I first went to Montreal, I don't know that I ever literally moved to Montreal, but I've spent probably in a combined year there. Super great. I loved it. So it could just be that everything's better when it's novel. But that thing I was saying about, you know, you pick the plan and you do the plan. I just like the setup of Asian cities so much better. Where when you walk out of the door, like I said this to somebody the other day, one of my pals back home I was talking to, I was like, yeah, the thing is, because like, it's this weird thing of like, why are you in Asia for so long? But you're not trying to move there, and you're only picking up various bits of culture by accident, and you're not trying to learn any of the languages, and you barely even talk to anybody. I'm like, yeah, I know, it is, I know. But it's literally the cities. When you walk out your door in the morning, it just feels fun. That's the first thing I noticed in Japan, and it took a little bit for me to regain that, recalibrate that in Korea, but I did, and then I had it again immediately in Taipei. You just walk out your door and it just feels fun. Just whatever direction you go, wherever you go wander around, it just feels good. There's just people around, there's stuff happening, there's 7-Elevens abound just waiting for you. There's subways, there's buses, there's mountains to climb. I'm at another cafe now where this one, it's, what's this called? I don't know, but it's like European style art. R9 Cafe, it's called. Like the letter R, the number 9. And there's all these paintings on the wall that are like European style. They look like out of a European storybook. It's like, you know, a lady in a French beret with a coffee and just a boulangerie chef guy. They're definitely going for a French vibe. And it's got the different languages of Je t'aime, ti amo, Aku Sinta Kamu, I don't know what language that is, or Min Rakastan Sinua, Ich liebe dich, I love you. It's just cool, man, it's just pretty. It's just fun. Just leaving the door and going to walk around just feels fun in a way that yeah, again, apologies to North America, but I just don't feel that way in North America anymore. And I don't know that I ever did fully. And yeah, I love that variability. I love it. Just go outside, you know, pick a vague plan, you know, just a sort of a direction. And if something goes wrong, just go a different direction. Just go do something else. Yeah, like there's all these little alleyways here. Where the hell? Here, let me check. Where the fuck am I? I just don't even know where I am. But this is cool. I've never been to this neighborhood. Like, it's funny. I'm sure when I released the episodes about Shimen, I'm sure I added the name Shimen to the episode titles, but it was funny that the first, like, probably the first week almost, I was walking around that neighborhood, I didn't even know what it was called. It's just like, this place is the best. Yeah, so here we go. Yeah, I literally just started at Minquan West Road Station, and I'm just walking. Oh, perfect. I mean, I'm walking the right direction and everything. I'm walking south past Shuanglian Station toward Zongshan. So if I just keep walking this way, yeah, this is fucking perfect. It'll take me up by the park, the NTU Hospital Station, and from there I just know where I'm going already, because that's basically the Shimen neighborhood. Shimen Ding. Yeah, this is just a little pedestrian walkway that goes over top of the station. Now, what is this? Underground Book Street, Zhongshan Metro Mall. Well, all right. I mean, it's very pretty out here. I kind of prefer it up at street level, but let's go down just for a bit. Let's just see what that is. Because again, why not? Just go random places, wander around. Man, it just feels nice. It just feels good. Here we go. So it's just a big bookstore down here, or a library possibly. Yeah, it's just a big underground mall. I mean, what did I think was gonna happen? Of course that's what this is. Big underground mall. Yeah, it's too pretty upstairs. It's too nice. I'm gonna go back upstairs. There we go, back upstairs. But yeah, walking around Asia, dude, it's just pretty good. But yeah, additionally, I just love too that it's both things at once. It's the country and the city together. Because this area I'm in right now, I mean, it is a lot of stores. It's a whole big, like, underground mall and then this above-ground sort of shopping promenade on top of each other. Right along a subway station. A lot of people here, a lot of shopping-type stuff. But my other plan to go hike through the mountains for the afternoon was literally, like, 3 or 4 subway stops north of here. You know? So fucking close. So easy to get to. Both things are just next door to each other. And again, this is kind of unique to Taipei. With a little work, you can get to some nature in Tokyo, but that is a little tricky. Seoul's not that bad once you figure out how to get to Bukhansan. Bukhansan is pretty accessible. But then the smaller cities, Fukuoka, Jecheon, especially Busan, really no problem. Oh, looky here. Now I recognize this. I've been here before. Yeah, there's a Daiso right near here that I went to. So yeah, now let's get into pointless minutiae. So yesterday when I went out when it was raining, I was also going to a Daiso because I just wanted to get some crazy glue. So with my boots, there's always something incredibly pedestrian and stupid that I'm yammering about on this podcast. Hair buzzers and the like. So I got these big cool boots in Seoul that are breaking down and falling apart and look like hell. Oh, there's a guy walking a pig, like a big pig. Like a pig that's like bigger than your average dog. Just walking down the street with him on a little leash. I've never seen that before. Again, similar to the turtle I saw the other day, I kind of want to take a picture, but I feel like it's a little weird. It's a little uncouth to just take a picture of a guy walking a pig. I just let the guy walk his pig, leave him alone. But yeah, these boots are falling apart, and I found out the hard way that when they get really wet, the polyurethane smells like ammonia, makes it smell like your boots have pee on them. Only one of them was doing that. I should obviously replace these boots, but I don't know what it is where I just want to hold on to everything as long as I can. It's just something in my brain that it's like you just keep your stuff till it doesn't work anymore. That's just my thinking. It's how I've always been. But these really were falling apart because additionally the soles were starting to disconnect from the boot. But I bought some crazy glue the other day. One of the soles was coming off at the toe and the other one at the heel. And I crazy glued the one at the toe and it really worked. I just crazy glued the fucking thing back on and it's perfectly sealed and it looks great again. So I was like, all right, let me go get some more crazy glue, which was my plan yesterday, and try to glue this heel back on. But the heel, I guess, you know, it's a lot more, there's a lot more movement going on, a lot more bending of the shoe at the heel. It did not so easily glue back on. It really wouldn't reattach. So that's what I did yesterday. I was like, well, I tried to save these, but why am I trying to save these boots that look like they were made by the devil at this point? And they haven't had the pee problem since, because it hasn't rained that hard on me. Even yesterday, it was okay. But this is just dumb. I should just get rid of these fucking boots. So that did it. Yesterday, I finally was like, all right, I can't even glue the fucking heel back on. This is stupid. Get rid of these. So I finally went and bought some shoes. I like having boots. I like having big, clompy boots. Like, I like just being able to, like, today, again, like, I could just go to the city, go hiking, without a thought in the world. Like, you can still do that with shoes, with sneakers. The only time I literally felt like I needed boots was on Bukhansan. That's the only time, like, it was a mountain where it's like I should not be doing this in sneakers. But you still have to be a lot more mindful of sneakers, mindful of where you step, mindful of where you're walking. If you're going through tall grass and just different whatever terrains. I do love, even though it's been hot and it's been summertime, I've just been happy to have big boots. And I was like, maybe I'll just be a boot guy. Maybe I'll just always wear boots forever. But boots are just way too expensive. These ones from Seoul were like $70. And they lasted a good 9 months. I feel like that's fine. But all the boots here in Taipei are 200 plus minimum, you know? And it's just like, that's such a lot of money. So we'll see. When I get to Japan, we'll see. But for now, I was like, well, just buy some shoes. So then part of me was like, well, just buy the cheapest shoes. But cheap shoes really are bad. Like, I've had, like, Walmart shoes that didn't even last, I don't know, by 3 months, you know, they're just, like, falling apart on my feet. It's like, why did I buy these? What's the point of this? So instead, I just found the biggest shoes I could find. That helps cut things down a lot, because it's very hard to find. I thought 290 centimeters was the biggest, but I found some 295s, because my feet are not that big. That's like a size 12. My feet are more like a 10 and a half or an 11. But because my toes, I have like spacers between my toes so I don't develop bunions. And you can get special brands of shoes that have wide toe boxes, but I don't know, I can't find that shit around here. But I learned that if you just buy footwear that's too big, it just gives you room. Gives you room for your toes to not get crammed in. It's a very strange design of sneakers. It's like they're designed to cram your toes into each other. And I don't know much about bunions. I didn't research it until I started getting pain in my big toes. But it doesn't seem very easily reversible. It's like surgery and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But as long as I keep spacers between my toes, I wear spacers in my shoes and I have different ones that I wear at night. As long as I just don't allow my toes to develop the bunion, I think I'm gonna be okay, or at least it severely slows the process. So I just need room in my shoes. So I could only find three pairs of shoes that were that big, 295 centimeters. One of them was $25, one was $35, one was $45. So I just bought the $45 shoes. I'm like, fuck it. If anybody should be spending out a little on fucking footwear, it's me. It's all I do is walk. That's not an area where cheaping out is a good idea. But I am wearing the big boots right now. It's like, yep, just wear them into the ground. Wear them for this last week. And then when I go to the airport next week, I'll just slip on my little sneakers. And suddenly I will have the lightest feet in the world. And I will keep my eyes peeled for boots, because I still extremely enjoy big, cool boots. But I don't know, I just don't want to spend $300 on boots. Yeah, because of the weird exchange rates, I never really did get a great grip on how much stuff costs here in Taipei, but it is generally kind of expensive. Like, I never really think that the 100 won bill, which is basically like I think of as a dollar, but really it's more like a $5 bill Canadian, almost, you know, it's like $4.50. So like I was buying these dried mango slices when I go hiking because they're just, you know, nice thing to kind of tuck away. But it didn't really occur to me that each one of those little pouches of dried mango slices was almost $5. It's just like, oh yeah, shit, I just wasn't paying attention. I feel like the prices in Korea were quite comparable to Canada, and the prices in Japan are similar but a little below, a little less in Japan. Everything is definitely more expensive here in Taiwan, but I just sort of never noticed, you know? I just take a big whack of money out of the bank every 3 weeks or so and not really know exactly how much money it is and not really know how. I mean, I'm definitely spending slow. I mean, I don't fucking do anything or buy anything except food. It takes a long time to burn through these bills in my wallet, but yeah, I still just never have a good sense of what things cost, how much I'm spending. Well, I'm glad to report, by the way, again, really old news. But when I went to see Beetlejuice 2, the only time I went to see a movie in Asia, and I didn't like it, it seems like the consensus is, yeah, it's not very good. Like, I always enjoy the Kinda Funny podcast. So they did Beetlejuice in review and talked about how amazing the first Beetlejuice is. But they're generally fairly positive people, which I sort of enjoy in general. But when you don't like something, it's just not fun to hear people talk about liking it. It's like, yeah, I hope they don't just talk about how good Beetlejuice 2 is. But nah, every one of them didn't like it. And I'm like, oh good, sanity prevails. That movie did suck, it wasn't just me. Oh, here we go. Taipei City Mall. This is the place. This connects up to that very first place that I went. When I first arrived in Taipei, came in from the airport, this is more or less where they spit me out. So this is that underground mall with all the video games and anime stuff. Well, let's just go back down there. Relive my first day in Taipei. It is a weird feeling too when transitioning between cities. It does just kind of make all the other cities start to pop up in my mind of like just being in the subway today and the way they have dividers. So you cannot get to the subway track. They also do that in South Korea, so that made me think back to South Korea. And I was like, oh, I kind of miss those subways in South Korea, especially those little drink machines where for 50 cents you get a little coffee. That shit was awesome. Which, speaking of, I should buy another coffee to fuel me on the walk home. And then back in Japan, you know, you can access the tracks, but since everybody else is doing these full barricades, I bet Japan's gonna do that eventually. Because it really does make sense. Oh yeah, here we go, into the mall. Yeah, I'm at the very end, because this is the spot where there are blind people who sell massages. Which is quite an interesting business, kind of a neat thing. Yeah, here we go, just have a little walk through the mall. Oh, of course, one last thing, yeah. Of the different countries, you know, where I start to compare and contrast them a little more. When it's time to transition to a new one. When I was in that squat toilet, I forgot about this, not done my squat toilet talk. Since I was squatting in there for several long minutes, probably in there 10 minutes, maybe not 10, whatever, you don't need the excruciating details of the squat toilet. But I had a lot of time to just glance around and soak it in. And I did notice that there is an emergency button in there. Because I remember I commented on that specifically in South Korea because it was so prominent and so evident. Every single place, no matter how rural the little washroom, there's pretty much always an emergency call button. The only time I can think of where there wasn't one was this extra rural little outhouse bathroom that I found while I was circumnavigating Jeju. But there's pretty much always an emergency button, to the point that I was like, it feels almost weird where it's good to have the emergency buttons, but do you really need this many emergency buttons? Like, I don't know. It just seems like it starts to have the opposite effect of like, it makes it seem like instead of feeling safe, it feels like, what kind of Fist of the North Star lawless wasteland am I in that you need this many security buttons? But I don't think you do need them. Asia seems extremely crime-free, particularly just as a dude walking around. I generally feel pretty safe anyway. That's luck of the genetic lottery. You can walk around as a dude by yourself and everyone just ignores you. But it's extra so in Asia. No one cares about me in a good way. But they have all those buttons, way more than I ever saw in Japan. But I realized, seeing that button today in the squat toilet, that I was like, oh yeah, actually they do have those buttons all over the place in Taiwan as well, but they're just not as signposted. Like, they're in South Korea, it's almost like a big arrow with like a cartoon explosion, almost like ding ding ding, like a store that sells fireworks or something, but it's like, here's the emergency button. Where in Taipei, they're there, but they're just a lot more subtle, they're just a lot smaller. Like, you know, here's the emergency button if you need it. But they are everywhere still, so I thought I should mention. Again, not a bad thing to have. And who knows, maybe they have more of them in Japan than I realized. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. I'll keep my eyes peeled this time. But I don't know. I don't remember them. But they do have them here in Taiwan as well. That'll be something, assuming I get back into Japan and everything goes okay. I do think this is going to take a lot of the weight off of Japan, now that I've been to these other Asian countries, and like for my purposes of just hiking around and soaking in the vibe, these other countries are also extremely excellent. So it takes a lot of the pressure off Japan. It's like, yeah, I like Japan, but there's other options. It's fine. So when I get back to Japan, theoretically, it'll be a lot less like, wow, super magical wonderland. I've even started noticing it in my own mind as far as like Japan vloggers and stuff, where I'm kind of like, why do you only talk about Japan? I'm one to talk, right? I did 100 episodes of this podcast about Japan. But it's like, just like endless vlogs about Japan everywhere. Japan, Japan, Japan. It's like, you know, there's other fucking countries, but also you got to go where the audience goes. I wasn't watching anything about these other countries. If there's any really famous English-speaking vloggers for these other Asian countries, I don't know who they are. Again, Japan invaded all of our minds, and God bless them for it. But I mean, yeah, through 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, every generation of North American kids comes up with Japan in their brain. From Speed Racer to fucking Chainsaw Man, you know? It's just like, I bet you dollars to donuts you like something from Japan. And I guess these other countries, they just don't have that inroad to your brain, to your little mind in that same way. But now that I've been out here wandering around, it's like, man, these other countries are pretty fucking good, though. They're pretty fucking good. But all that being said, the double triple flip, I'm sure when I get back to Japan, I'll be like, oh, this feels so good, though. Fuck, I love Japan. But hey, that'll be coming up soon enough. In the meantime, I'm just going to walk through this mall. Speaking of Japan, like, here's a gacha machine with Mario and Zelda. Well, here's a Bandai Namco one, but it's all Pac-Man and Dig Dug. No Dark Souls. Mappy? Come on. You could have some Lordran shit instead of Mappy. Bomberman? Teletubbies, are they still going? Does Bandai Namco own Teletubbies, or do they just make the toys? But yeah, gotcha, anime, video games. This Taipei Main Station Mall is fucking cool. It's fucking cool. And there's new ads now. I remember when I first got here, again, just to set this in time, it was when the Elden Ring DLC first came out, so there was a bunch of posters for that. Now it's Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake. But okay, thank you for listening to me ramble once again. I'm sure there'll be more to this episode, but I don't know what it'll be. Just whenever something else strikes my mind as I walk around Taipei for my last week. But yeah, this is feeling pretty good now. I guess last episode I was talking about that sort of weird stress of like, oh man, only 2 weeks to go. I gotta squeeze in stuff. But I've definitely kind of settled into like, who cares? Don't worry about it. You've done enough. Like, it's kind of good to be deliberately just going back to places I've already been, to just kind of diffuse that thing in my mind of like, go explore a new place, go find a new thing. It's like, you've done it, dude. You're all right. Don't worry about it. Next time you come to Taiwan, you can go to the East Coast. You can go to a different city. You can do all kinds of stuff. For now, just wander around the places you've been and just soak it in, man. Just enjoy it. All right, it's the next day, and I did come do the first hike that I did here in Taipei by Jiantan Station, where you just go a little south of there and then hike east over to Soochow University, although you can sort of connect up and keep going all the way to the lakes on the Brown Line if you keep going east. But today, as with yesterday, I started pretty late, like 3 p.m. before I got started on this thing. So I'm just going to go to Soochow. But it's kind of interesting going back to places I've already been. It definitely feels different. Oh, there's just a guy walking his dog on a little leash up here. It's a tiny dog too, so yeah, that's how easy this hike is. It's a bit steep at the very start just to get up on this ridge, and then you just walk along a nice ridge. I just passed the observation deck across from the Taipei 101, so I think I'm like halfway. But yeah, even though I started late, it should be no problem to get through here. And yeah, it's different to go somewhere you've already been, because going to a new place, like, that's definitely the most exciting feeling of like, oh, what's going to be here? How's it going to go? My mind is way more active and engaged and just like, wow, cool. But it's kind of nice in a way too, just coming back to a place you've already been. It's comfortable in a different way. Like, my mind is wandering way more. I'm paying more attention, I guess, to side routes and like, what other potential places could I go around here? But this really is just a one ridge, you know. The side stuff is all just various little observation areas. I don't think there is actually other paths up here. But yeah, it's kind of nice in its own way of just like, my mind is just wandering. It's a little bit like when I was in my hometown for COVID years and I just hiked in Odell Park in Fredericton almost every day. And at first, Odell Park is deceptively complicated, and I was like getting into weird spots I'd never been to before, even though I lived in that city my whole life, and I'm like, where is this? What is going on? But then it reached a point where I knew every little square inch of that park, you know? I could just, you know, you could place me, you could geo-guess, put me at any spot in Odell Park, and I could tell you exactly where I am. You know, the music coming out of people's radios, that happens a lot. I pass people playing music. It always kind of reminds me of the title screen of Portal 1, the video game Portal, where they're just playing the, this is a Triumph song, but like a jazzy samba version through a little radio. That's kind of what it sounds like. But yeah, as I would walk around Odell, you know, my mind would just wander, and I was just like, yeah, you know, whatever, I know where I am. I've been here a million fucking times. So this is only my second time here, but it's reminding me of that a bit, where I'm just, instead of being engaged, my mind is just wandering to other stuff. But it's nice too. It's like, I know where I'm going. I know where the end is. I know how to get off this trail. I know if I want to extend it, how that works. You know, like, I did the heavy lifting already. I did all the work. And now it can just be a nice, relaxing walk that I can do, even if it's a bit late in the day, and even though the days are getting shorter, like, there's zero concern. I still got my backup bottle of water and everything. I've learned from my past mistakes. The heat wave is basically past, but it's still like a touch above 30 today. It's still not hot. But yeah, it's just kind of nice. Oh, hey, doggy. Guy let his dog off his leash. Dog is just wandering now. That can't be a wild dog. This dog has like a little harness on and stuff. I was like, is this just a wild dog that happened to be walking next to a guy? But no, this is definitely a domestic dog. I mean, you can even just tell because its fur is shiny and awesome, where the wild dogs, they are a little, not patchy, just you can tell they haven't been brushed, you know, their hair's got like little cowlicks and stuff in it. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I don't know, even just having people be a little more comfortable having their dogs off leash and stuff. It's kind of nice because it does remind me of the olden days in North America. Like, that's really been locked down. Like, speaking of Odell Park, even in the big park, like, the law is you're supposed to have your dogs on a leash. But I would run into people, because I was always walking in obscure parts of that park, I'd run into people that are walking without a leash on their dog because, you know, they're in the middle of the park and no one's usually ever there. And they always were so apologetic, like, they were like afraid that I was going to call the city, call a dog catcher or something on them. And I'd always just have to be like, yeah, no, it's really okay. It's totally cool. I do not care if your dog's not on a leash. I don't mind. But I got to assume that the populace in general in Canada is like, no, 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 your dog needs to be on a leash. So yeah, it's kind of nostalgic. But yeah, nice in a different way. Nice casual walk when you know already where you're going and what's going to happen ahead of you. It's actually very, it's been super clear for a while recently, so I haven't even checked the AQI in like a couple of weeks, I think, because the air quality's just been really good. But today, looking out at the view, it is that haze that, you know, I guess it's because, again, fall's coming. It definitely gave me Seoul vibes of just like, yeah, there's that gray, looking out over a gray city, looking out into the hazy distance. But when it doesn't happen every day, when it's not just constant and oppressive, that's kind of nice too. It's just nice in a weird way. Just like, you know, that is pretty in a post-apocalyptic-y way. And it was just too much in Seoul, where it was literally making my lungs burn. And it looked like fallout. It looked like the end of the goddamn world. But when it's only half that bad, well, maybe three quarters that bad, it's pretty bad today. It's pretty bad looking. But it was clear yesterday, might be clear tomorrow, when it's just a happenstance. It's kind of cool too, in a weird way. Actually, the weather says it's supposed to be pretty clear right up till my last couple of days. It's supposed to rain my last two or three days. So I'll say fare thee well to Taipei in the rain, it seems, but that's kind of appropriate. This has been a very rainy place. And I mean, hey, we were talking a lot about toilets last segment. Toilet update too, of just like, got up on this ridge, was walking along, got kind of hit in the belly of like, oh darn. This always happens to me. It's like, how come I didn't need the washroom at home or back at the station? Why'd you have to wait till I get on a mountain? I got to assume it's because, you know, I slam a coffee and eat a sandwich from the convenience store and then hike up a bunch of steps. It probably loosens up the organs. But yeah, then I was like, oh, geez, I actually need the washroom a little bit bad. But there was a washroom up here on the trail that actually had a squat toilet and a Western toilet, but somebody was in the Western toilet. But yeah, I'm really, I don't think I've ever had significant issues with the squat toilets, but really just today and yesterday, both have kind of taught me like, oh yeah, just even if you do need to kind of sit there and squat for a while, it's not that bad, you know? I think all this hiking has helped my squatting. I do wonder, like, they just call it the Asian squat, where, you know, people waiting for trains and stuff will just squat while they're waiting. To be honest, I haven't seen very much of that. That's one of those things I heard about 10 years ago. But I don't know how much people really do that. But if they do, I was like, I wonder if they do that to train for needing to use the squat toilet, to be prepared. But yeah, it's just undeniable that if you just gotta take a poop, brother, it's just easier when you're squatting. Squat toilets really aren't bad. And I mean, you can get all those attachments for Western toilets that are like footrests on the side of your toilet, so you can turn your toilet into a squat toilet, all this stuff. Certainly not a popular option. I don't know if that's something I would really do. But yeah, I've definitely turned enough of a corner that like today when the Western toilet was busy, I just didn't even mind at all about the squat toilet. I'm like, that's fine. You know, it might be better. It might be better for clearing out the old system. Jeez, actually, I think I'm coming to the end of this quicker than I expected. Because, yeah, there's definitely army stuff that you're not supposed to go to. So, yeah, it might not be that long till I get to the till the trail turns into a dirt trail. So maybe I won't go down to Soochow University because it's only 4:45. And yeah, I know now that I can go a little further along. And even if I don't go all the way along the trail to the lakes at the east end of the Brown Line, I can just go a little bit further east and still take a road down, connect up to the Brown Line. Whatever, we'll see. But again, just the land of the land of backup plans. Even if you're on a mountain ridge where there's really only just the one ridge, there's still so many different places you can exit the ridge that it's still a very variable place. Well, that was pretty weird. So I passed Soochow and I got to the kind of main road where last time I was on this route, I went north a bit and then up into more mountain trails, and then that led me over to those lakes by the Brown Line. But this time I just decided I'd walk straight down the road. It's getting a little bit late. Sun's going down, so if I just head straight to the Brown Line, it'll take me down this curvy road, almost there now, to Janin Road Station, is that right? Yes, it is. J-I-A-N-N-A-N, so I assume I'm on Janin Road. And yeah, as I was walking down this road, I saw this cool statue. I've never seen one like this before, where it's like a kind of like an Easter Island head, pretty big, about my size, maybe even a little bigger than me. But then in front of it were hands, you know, like praying hands as a second sculpture. But it looks like a head poking up out of the ground, and it's hands poking up out of the ground. Just cool. But then as I kept walking, all those little military installations that keep popping up on the mountain, those definitely came to the fore, where those are not a coincidence. As I was walking down this road, oh fuck, great big convoy. Giant trucks coming. Let me get the fuck out of the way because this is a small road. Well, I guess not a convoy. Only one truck in the convoy. The rest all scooters. But yeah, I walked by this big part where there's like barbed wire on both sides of the road. Just like massively barbed wired stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is definitely military shit. But then what was funny is I didn't even notice that there was, on the other side of the barbed wire, there was a little outpost with a full-on military guy in there, which is pretty rare. I've rarely seen military presence in Taiwan, maybe a little bit in Xiamen here and there. But this was the full military guy with the helmet on, straight out of Bionic Commando. But yeah, I didn't see him there, and because, you know, I'm still basically on my own on this road, I was just singing along to Holy Love by the Cardigans. And then I was like, oh, there's an army guy. He heard me singing. But I mean, at that point, it's more embarrassing to stop. You just got to pretend that you're confident and just keep on going, man. So I was like, oh, well, whatever. I'm sure whatever lack of respect a military guy would have for some random foreign civilian anyway. Not that's a weird way to put it. I don't expect that your average military guy has a lot of, not respect or disrespect, probably just doesn't think about foreign civilians at all, just like whatever, just a blank to him. But I think I probably downgraded myself from blank to, he's probably like, who the fuck, who the fuck is this moron? When you love, I can feel your love throwing rocks through the windows of the monastery. Love makes you feel the super extra gravity of God. It wasn't that obnoxious. But it was not good. Anyway, yeah, if I had more time in the day, walking down the road through the military encampment, not the best. Staying on the mountains is better. But on my way down here, it's starting to get dark real fucking fast. Like, yeah, it's only 5:30 and it's distinctly gloomy now. And the streetlights all turned on. The streetlights remain fucking amazing here. Way better than those strange streetlights in Japan that barely do anything. Streetlights in Taipei, man, they fucking do it. They do the job. So it's good that I'm getting out of here. Oh, and here's this Ferris wheel. You can see the Ferris wheel from a lot of vantage points up there. And there it is, all lit up now. That was actually kind of neat. There was, by one of the major views looking out at the Ferris wheel, there was just like a little scene that tells the story. In video games, they call that environmental storytelling, you know, where just by observing the environment, you can tell what happened there. You can piece together a little story. And in this case, it was litter, so that stood out, because litter is pretty fucking rare in Taiwan. And it was an empty coffee can and two empty packs of cigarettes. So that suggests that guy sat there looking at the view, looking out over the city, looking at the Ferris wheel, long enough not only to drink one of those little cans of coffee, but even presuming that that first pack, let's say that was his last cigarette. So he smoked that final cigarette, and then he sat there long enough. They're little teeny packs, you know, like little 8-packs or whatever of cigarettes. But he sat there and smoked the entire second pack. And then he's such a troubled soul that he left his fucking garbage. This man is the end of his tether. That's fucking crazy, son. Who does that? Come to think of it, I should have picked up that stuff. I should have taken it with me, but I don't know where I would put it. And it, like, you know, if it's going to smell like cigarettes and shit. If I had a little plastic bag to put it in or something. But to be honest, I left it because I thought it was such a cool example of environmental storytelling. But I did pick up some garbage earlier today. A little girl was walking with her mom right when I left my Airbnb, and out of the back of her backpack dropped a little, one of the little, it's like a little juice box, but it has black tea in it. And they were quite a ways ahead of me. When I got to it, I picked it up, and if it had been full, I would have ran up and given it back to her, but it was actually empty. So I was like, ah, that's fine, I'll just take it. And I took it to the subway station with me and threw it away. So I did throw away some garbage today to make up for this garbage that I just left on the mountain. But that also made me question, like, I don't know, did she drink that or did the mom drink that? Like, I don't know that a little kid should be drinking black tea, right? I don't know, do kids drink caffeine these days? I hope not. But it might not have been hers. Anyway, I loved that little that little story told of, like, yeah, some guy, he was really sitting there for a long fucking time. Yeah, and even though this isn't the optimal route, you know, now I'm down near the subway, past all the military stuff, it's still nice. There's that nice view of the Ferris wheel. And yeah, that statue, the head with the hands, that was worth it alone. But all right, there's an episode. There's another nice little ending the days in Taiwan episode. I'm currently feeling fairly confident about traveling to Japan. Like, it's nice because, you know, there's that worry of, like, I'm going for my second 90 days. There's nothing on the books. You just got to hope it all works out. I'm just going on the advice of some fucking people from Reddit and just stories I heard from back in the day of people going back for their second 90 days. Can't help but be a little uncomfortable, but it's very much balanced out with, like, that I'm quite sure it'll be okay, that there's a lot less unknowns in this plan, because it's just go to the airport here, fly for 3.5 hours. If everything goes well from Narita, just head from Narita to Norihiko's place in Chiba, where I've already been. It's all laid out in a, again, like with this path today, it's a whole route that I've already done before. And then if something does go wrong, that's a whole different story. Then it's like, well, I don't know. I guess buy a ticket to somewhere else and see how that happens. That will be undoubtedly stressful if that happens. But as it stands right now, you know, things could always change as things come nearer. I just cannot predict how my little anxious body is going to behave. But right now, it's in a pretty good equilibrium of, I'm more excited to go back to Japan than I am worried that it won't go well. So that's good. That is good, and I'll take it. All right, well, under the shadow of the fucking Ferris wheel, it's green, by the way, all lit up green, but it's not moving right now. Let's call that an episode. Thank you once again for listening. I got a little time left in Taipei. Japan round 2 is on the horizon. And thank you, as always, for listening. Goodbye.